Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for usually our biggest team preview of the year between them, UAE, and Ineos Grenadiers. It's the Visma Lisa Bike 2024 preview. And it has the usual format as the other previews, reviewing their 2023 season, looking at their 2024 transfers, and having a look at their 2024 schedule, who they've announced for the major races, and who we think they should have sent to the major races, as well as setting some goals, hot takes, over-unders, or how many World Tour wins they'll have, etc., as well as a few questions that Benji's got on our list. But when was it? The team presentation was what, 2 days ago, Benji? Thursday?
Yes, as of recording this, 2 days ago on the 21st. So recording this on the 23rd, this will go out a bit later. But hey, that's you guys don't know that.
So we have the benefit of that information. Yes. And so, but yeah, we're batch recording the previews. But we wanted to wait for the team presentations before Christmas to come out, which the majority have, and also some controversial signings to have been had the T's crossed and I's dotted, which is pretty handy as well. But just a reminder, we discuss this in the Q&A podcast, which you might have listened to on Christmas Day, that I am on the coaching staff at now Visma Lisa Bike, working with the leadership team on race strategy, transfer, scouting, data analysis, all that jazz. So it wouldn't make too much sense in this preview if I said all the transfers are terrible, if maybe that means no one's listening to me. but yeah, just if you want to listen to more about that, it's in the Q&A podcast, and also there's the release on Visma's website. But you want to get us into the 2023 review, Benji?
Yes, sir. 2023, that's a pretty good season for Jumbo Visma, what they still were called in this season. 38 World Tour victories. To be honest, I counted the list multiple times. And once I counted 39 and three times I counted 38. So I hope it's 38 World Tour victories out of 69 total victories. And let's talk about the big ones first, the Grand Tours. The Giro they won with Roglic. The Maglia Rosa won plus one stage. Not necessarily in the most dominant fashion, but in clutch, which is still a valuable victory, obviously. Tour de France, Vingegaard basically dominated GC, winning the Maillot Jaune, plus one stage. La Vuelta, Sepkus wins the overall as well. So three Grand Tours already, plus a stage for Sepkus. Vingegaard and Roglic both finish on the podium next to Sepkus. And Roglic wins two stages, and Vingegaard wins two stages. So in total, that is, if I recall, seven Grand Tour stages in addition to three Grand Tour victories and a full podium at La Vuelta. That's already a great list. Like, that's like a career-defining list. If they didn't do anything outside of that, it'd still be a successful season.
I think 10 Grand Tour stages. You've got GC Kus won on Havelange. Am I mistaken? I am mistaken. I thought the Dauphiné was a Tour de France. I'm a little bit sick, so Benji's driving this one. I just saw the French flag on PCS. I was like, close enough. Close enough. It's a Tour de France stage. Yeah, they only won the TT and the Giro and the that's curious, isn't it? They didn't win a road stage in the first two Grand Tours. Somewhat surprising compared to 2022 when they won quite a few stages in the Tour de France. So different to 2022. In the one-day races, they won five Cobble Classics, I think, in a row, except the big ones. They didn't win the Tour of Flanders and Roubaix, but they were quite dominant in all of the races preceding, or the World Tour Classics preceding it, not including San Remo either. And in the one day, yes.
I do want to talk about the classics there for a second. You mentioned it. They won every single one of the lead up classics. Omloop with Van Baarle, Benoot, Kuurne, Brussel-Kuurne, Banaat, Itri, which was against the big guns. It was against Pogacar and Van der Poel in the final sprint there. That's an epic victory. Laporte won Gent Wevelgem, gifted by Wout, let's be honest about that. And Dwarsdorf-Laderen in addition to that. Van Aert podium drew Bay and didn't win RVV. If we take a look at those two races plus MSR for a second, where can we identify where it went wrong? And my take on it is that Roubaix, you've got the bad luck. You need to mention that he had a puncture there. That's partially, at least, bad luck. But if you then take a look at the situation in Roubaix, they were also in that moment in a situation where the initial bad luck or partial bad luck, depending on whether you see the puncture of Laporte as bad luck or as equipment failure, well, there they already lost their numerical advantage earlier on because Alpecin was significant when it comes to their numbers in Roubaix. And when it comes to RVV and MSR, Van der Poel was just better than Van Aert.
And Pogacar was pretty good in RVV. Yeah,
he was pretty good in RVV.
He beat the shit out of everybody. Like, there's, I look at RVV, I've looked back at the race multiple times, I'm like, Dylan Van Baarle was sick, I don't think he did it. And then Roubaix, I'm not sure, he got taken out with a crash in Arenberg as well. Well, he had a crash. In E3, on a railway crossing.
I think he, indeed, on the Stationsstraat, is that the cobble segment that goes over the railroad crossing? That's where he crashed, but I'm not sure if that was the actual cause for his disappearance at RVV. Probably was. But it's like, Wout van Aert couldn't have... It's all down to just the individual strength at that point. Or is there a way you can anticipate enough to make sure that... Yeah.
Laporte has to jump with the Pedersen group. Mm-hmm. And then Jumbo never pull behind.
Yeah.
The Pedersen group, because Alpecin couldn't pull. Like, they were done pulling in RVV. And then maybe Laporte wins, maybe Mads Pedersen wins. But I think you take your chances there. You also had Van Hooydonk in that group, remember, who was, it was quite good. But in the end, they only had Van Hooydonk there, and Van Hooydonk's not beating Asger and Moritz and Pedersen in that group. So Jumbo had to pull behind that, and that's not the situation they would have wanted. And then it comes down to you close the gap, and then basically, as I said, like, Poggy was just fucking for second Quarmont, 55 k's to go, drops everybody, not even just like a little bit off the wheel, full dropped. And his team radio had to say afterward, like, after the Quarmont, all right, you can't do the whole flat yourself, just kind of wait. Like, yeah. I think even he was still ahead, and Laporte bridged him before the Paselberg, and he dropped everybody again. Second Quarmont, and then last Quarmont, he was too good, way, way, way too good, unless you had that 90k to go group with Pedersen. So, Roubaix, I'd say bad luck, but also Laporte's broken his bike about five times in every gravel or cobbled race in the last 3 years.
Yeah, so it's actually true. Except the ones where he won.
Even Paris Tour this year, he destroyed it. So I don't know. But certainly there'll be goals. And we've now done a long discussion on what they didn't succeed in. But I guess it's, you got to nitpick, I guess. Lombardia, it's not like they could have beat. The Roglic sort of wasn't. That was a bit strange. Liège, the Ardennes was kind of the overlooked one, right? If we had to nitpick as well, Benji, Grand Tours and stage races, okay, we know, like, it was probably the best season ever for a team in stage racing. I can't think of one better.
Correct.
Because they also, sorry, on your list, just to quickly go through, and they also won the Dauphiné, the Basque Country, Catalunya, Tirreno Adriatico, podium of Paris-Nice, I think, and then a lot of stages in others, as well as winning Guangxi. But then the Ardennes, Van Aert, Roglic, Vingegaard skipped them, right?
Yep. It's a decision, eh? It's prioritizing other goals to the point that those races did not have the leaders, and then you have Benoit and Valter trying to fight it out. And at Strade, that led to some tactical miscommunication, and in the actual Hill Classics, they just were not good enough. Pogacar is just better. He rolls them up if he wants to. So that's how I see that.
Evenepoel.
Yeah. Example. Also Remco Evenepoel, but also even the second tier riders like Pidcock and so forth in those races are better than Benoit and Valter, even sometimes combined. So I don't see those riders as leading those races and being competitive unless the start list is weaker, which at Strade it wasn't, and they competed. So that's how you see it, for example. And
yeah, 69 wins though. 69 wins, 38 yes. World Tour wins, 3 Grand Tours. Ultimately, it's a season of dreams for probably any team. Didn't win the UCI points ranking though.
Well, I don't
which
care.
Which really says more about the ranking itself.
I will say, Petter Strandhagen, this is something I do want to point out, as in he's one of those youngsters that is moving up through the youth rankings, is finally coming to the World Tour team this year. And I look at him winning 2.pro races already in his first year, where he's allowed to kind of raise those races. I see that as a very good sign for his future. And spoilers, we'll go into it later. I reckon he's going to be riding some of the Cobble Classics in 2024, which I'm very much looking forward to. I'm very much looking forward to seeing him blossom a bit next to the likes of Stonemitted and so forth. So yeah, pretty hyped for the Norwegian youngsters in this team. But
yeah, me too.
We mentioned not winning a monument. I do want to talk about how dominant was Jumbo really when it comes to Grand Tours, because if you take a look at the Tour de France and the Vuelta, I don't think anyone could have stopped them from winning it. I think in the Vuelta, maybe UAE could have tried to pick off one of the three riders on the podium with different strategies.
Yeah, maybe.
But winning the race, probably not. That doesn't seem feasible
to
me.
No.
Tour de France, the difference was also too big. In the Giro, I also feel like the difference at the end was noticeable enough that it might have not made a difference. But the difference between Roglic and Vingegaard is that Roglic wins by X amount of seconds, while Vingegaard wins by X amount of minutes. And you see the same when it comes to the individual one-week races that Roglic wins. And that always keeps me in mind of, like, was there a way that the opposing teams could have ridden differently to try and overturn that? And I believe Catalunya, Remco could have won that with different strategies, in my opinion. Tirreno is an odd one because Roglic still came back from that injury at that point. That was his first race back from a shoulder surgery for his dislocated shoulders that he had in October, which then led to him coming back in Tirreno instead of Catalunya. And at that race, I feel like he was riding very defensively because he had to ride defensively. And maybe other teams didn't realize that fast enough, and that could have led to a different result. That being said, he still pulled it off. Cold-blooded killer this 3-year Roglic, and it also showed in the eventual victory at the Giro, which we've spoken about it enough. The energy expenditure, Ineos not benefiting from that, but whether that would have actually changed the outcome of the race, I'm not sure, but it might have been closer there. So I feel like the overall view of the Grand Tours and the one-week races, I feel like there was nothing to be done about Vingegaard races, but there might have been something other teams could have done about Roglic.
Yeah, maybe in the Giro in that third week, and Jumbo did make a mistake on the Bondone stage. During the Tour de France, I don't really see it because UAE had the best mountain domestique. Adam Yates was reducing the group to 3, including himself, whenever he wanted.
Their slight mistakes their proper mistakes in breakaway formation phases weren't going to make up the minutes that Vingegaard was taking on the mountain stages anyway, so that didn't matter.
It didn't. Like you say, oh, well, they didn't control the breakaway for the Grand Colombier stage win. In the end, that actually didn't make any difference because Poggi still got a 4-second delta coming third. So, like in the Tour, I don't really see a different outcome, to be honest. In the Vuelta, of course, they're the most dominant. So, I think we've covered off those. I think Roglic can be a little bit deceiving sometimes. It's like he does the minimum required to win.
That's a skill.
So maybe, which is a skill, yeah. Which kind of maybe gives the appearance that he is
but touchable.
But I would say also if you feel so good, right, that you can just dance away from everybody with 500 meters to go and take, you know, 8-10 seconds, you'll do it. Whereas actually in Catalunya, he was getting beaten by Ciccone in an uphill sprint.
Yeah. But is it a choice or is it an application of the skills he is good at, like you're saying, as in he has that sprint. He might not have been able to be top at Catalunya in that way every single time, but the majority of the time he's that cold-blooded killer that can finish it off last minute. It's kind of like, I don't think he has it in him to drop people with 5 kilometers to go and keep it until the finish line in most of the races.
Look at Coy and look at Trecime. Like him and Thomas were the same.
I will say,
and
Angliru level was different.
Of course, yes, but that was... Treichimi is coming after a big, hard stage. I know they walked at Ineos, but it's different to the Angliru, which is a 120-kilometer stage. Also, Roglic, yeah, he's so good in the back end of the year in August. But, yeah, maybe the Giro was the closest, and Ineos will rue that one. But still, that rounds off the 2023 season. Speaking of Roglic, the biggest transfer of the year out of the team after the Vuelta. So he goes to Bora Hansgrohe, breaking his contract with everyone's agreement, obviously, and leaves a big gap. So, like, certainly Roglic's wins of this year, there's just no way. I really don't see how they can be replaced for 2024, at least. Exactly. I doubt, or his point. Oh, maybe. I don't know. If I look at the points going out and the points coming in, maybe it's close.
Fuck the points, man. They're at the top of the ranking. Points are kind of irrelevant.
UAE
is winning the points ranking in 2024 anyway, so it's not like this will get them over UAE necessarily in 2024. But I will say, when it comes to Roglic leaving, they are going to miss the results that Roglic can deliver. And I would also look at it in a way of, Roglic just secures so many one-week races, even if he doesn't win a Grand Tour in a year. And
yeah,
the riders that are there already in the team, and the riders that are coming in, like Jorgensen, Uytebroeks, Tone Mitut, coming from the Dev team, and Sefov Ben Tullet, those riders are very good for the future, but might not be able to deliver that yet. Yes, maybe Jorgensen can win Romandy this year, but I also think he's got higher hopes than winning Romandy in 2024 as well. So it's like, maybe Paranese is something.
That's a good goal.
I think Paranese is the one that he's lined up for to do something, and maybe he can compete for the podium there, maybe he can compete for the victory there. But just in general, I feel like they can't replace Roglic right now, but they can replace him in the aggregate in the future.
Yeah, like maybe in 2025, and particularly when you're looking at, we're really looking at three riders here, Jorgensen, Tullet, Jan Uytebroeks. Can in 2025 those guys get close to the results of Roglic in 25? I mean, as you said, maybe in the aggregate, but also cycling isn't the same as baseball in the sense that sometimes you just need the guy who can just actually win the Grand Tour. Because like, Hirschi had a lot of results in the aggregate in terms of points this year, but he wasn't sniffing a Liège win or a Tour stage, didn't go to a Grand Tour, I don't think. So,
correct.
But really, it's a moot point because they couldn't keep Roglic, you know? It looked like he clearly wanted to go to have his chance at the Tour of Bora. So it's kind of a moot point.
Exactly. And I feel like it's also, just as a reminder, I don't believe the Vuelta or something, or that drama necessarily was the thing that hit it for Roglic either. Maybe that's part of the whole concept, but I think it's in general the feeling of Roglic of wanting to go to a Grand Tour and loses on his own terms, and not on someone else's terms or on tactics terms, but on his own terms of him being individual leader and just not being good enough. And I think that's what Primož wants for 2024. And I understand that is a good reason for leaving Visma in 2024 as well. Even if people might think it's a viable thing to think that he might be more likely to win a Grand Tour with a co-leader at Visma than as a solo leader at Bora, but we won't know that until next year. But I think it's a good choice for Primož, and I also think that Visma in itself had to undergo this transition at some point in the next few years. I might as well do it right now. So I think for both parties, this will end up being a relatively good decision for the coming period. And then I question, you said it, Jorgensen is coming from Movistar. He's rider that was good in the Cobble Classics, anticipating in similar fashion as Pedersen did in RVV, for example. But let's be honest about it, they're not getting him just to be a Cobble rider. I'm pretty sure about that. They're having him as Mountain Domestique plus GC talent, I would guess, in 2024. And Ben Tullet is the GC talent plus hilly guy, I would see, plus Mountain Domestique. Kian Uytebroeks from Bora, I would look at him as the future GC rider potentially for the team, because let's not forget, this guy is super young. won Lavanier at the youngest possible age.
Yep.
And in addition to that, his first Grand Tour last year, La Vuelta, he finished 8th.
And 5th
in
on
a
Tom
very
stage.
Competitive top 10.
Yeah, good top 10. Like with two big UAE guys, with Remco having started the race, with three Jumbo guys, Ricky Maas. And so, yeah, and he was 5th on that Tourmalet stage. Obviously, the TT is a big question mark, but obviously Benji mentioned it. It hadn't been announced before the team presentation, and then I was asleep, but I don't know if it was announced like during the team presentation because he was wearing Visma Lisa bike kit. But
he just showed up.
Benson reported, or there was, and then a UCI statement that an agreement between Bora, Visma Lisa bike, and Alta Brooks had been reached with a compensation package to let him terminate his contract and move to Visma Lisa bike, which is the same arrangement that obviously happened with Roglic.
That basically it's Jumbo paying that compensation, not Keon himself, right? I would expect.
I don't know.
Because like, if you think about it, it just feels more logical to me in this situation that it's similar to Roglic where Bora had paid a buyout sum to Jumbo to get Roglic involved in that sense. So, but that brings me to this question. Uiterbroek, Stoller, Jorgensen, Vingegaard, a lot of people are saying, does that make that there's too many cooks in the kitchen? But I think they're far away from the UAE situation. Especially with Roglic leaving, because go ahead.
I think like obviously I don't know Almeida, but like Jorgensen's going to be happy, I think, to go to the tour to win the tour as part of the team. You know, in a domestique, primarily in a domestique role. Maybe Almeida is as well. He like wants to go to the tour. But then Ayuso, like I'm not sure they. Like, they're kind of more progressed in their career, the UAE guys. Like, Sivakov's already done that. Adam Yates just came 3rd in the Tour. Ayuso's podium the Vuelta. Almeida's podium the Giro. So, and there's Poggi. So, whereas, like, Tullet, Jorgensen, Kian, they got to win a World Tour 1 week. They got to consistently podium them before we're also talking about podium Grand Tours.
I agree. But I would say that Sivakov is not in the position to request Grand Tour leadership yet based on his previous Grand Tours and his bad luck in there. He's like the one rider that I would say is still in a similar fashion as Jorgensen because of his past of not being able to deliver at that space because of various reasons. But I agree with you, as in they're not that far in their career yet. They're still having to make that step up. And especially Tullet is for me the rider that hasn't really broken through to that point yet. Jorgensen has done GC in 1 week races better than Tullet, in my opinion.
Well, he won Tour of Oman, 5th in Paris-Nice or 4th in Paris-Nice, and second in Romandy, maybe. I think he was in the leader's jersey, but Yates was cooking, and so he had to chase him for like an hour on Tion, which isn't pleasant. Jorgensen's probably shown the most in 1 week. Kian has shown the most in a Grand Tour. In the recent Vuelta, and also won Lavanier, but as you said, like they're just a little bit, maybe 2 years behind the UAE guys. Not to say that I don't think they can perform really, really well in 2024, actually, but I think Tullet's also a bigger. We'll get to the outgoings as well. But Tullet, I think, is a big addition for the Ardennes, especially for something like Flesch. Like he did really well in that race on Alpecin. That result was why. Ineos where it wanted him in the first place, and then he hasn't done them in the last couple of years for various reasons, and also hasn't done a Grand Tour since the Giro 22. Correct. So didn't do a Grand Tour this year.
I was starting to feel like he was becoming the Dunbar at Ineos.
Yeah, that was it.
That was the feeling I was having last year, and he was also being sent to Copia Bartali and so forth, and when I saw it, I was like, man, they're done barring this man. And I just want to see Ben Tullet at the Hill Classics again. I don't even care about GC as much as he probably does.
I think he can be Roglic or Vingegaard sort of combo.
Wait. That level or?
Yeah. He like... Because he's young. He's the right size. His TT is excellent. He won the... The Tour of Norway prologue was uphill, but his TT is very good for his size. He has very good 5 minutes and punch, as shown in in Bartoli and in other consistent results in dot pro races.
But it's still so far to get there.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be fucking co-leader of the tour next year. I'm just saying, like, if you want GC contenders, I like them his size, Pidcock size. If they already have a bit of punch and TT about them. Obviously, if it's Pozzovivo and Nairo who just can't do a TT of that size, then it's a huge detriment. But if they show they've got a bit of TT about them, like Simon Yates and the Yates brothers as well, then I think it's a big... I think it's... Yeah. So I'm obviously very high on him. And Kian, yeah, is a big prospect. Let's do the outgoings before we get to the dev guys. Dennis retired. Van Emden retired as well, long-standing member of the team. Sam Omen to Little Trek, Timo Rosen to DSM, and Gijs Leemrijse also to DSM, I think.
The Narwhal!
The Narwhal. It's a shame. But I think, you know, Timo Rosen, or like you hope you can replace them with like Bart Lemon or Lo Van Bell, you know, like it's.
I'll be honest. I'm not even going to be that friendly here. I don't think they're going to miss Dennis, Van Emden, Omen, Rosen, Voss, and Leemrijse at all. I think they're going to miss Van Hooydonk and Roglic, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Van Hooydonk, I think Van Hooydonk, everyone's talking about how they're going to replace Roglic. Van Hooydonk was in the Tour team, was in the Dauphiné team, was in all those classics victories, was in Group 1 in Tour of Flanders. Van Hooydonk was like one of the most valuable players of this team, and he's gone. Who is the guy keeping Jonas safe from 7Ks to go to 3Ks to go on the Tour, and keeping Wout and Christophe Laporte in good position because they were trying to do a sprint lead out? Maarten Van Hooydonk on his own.
Yep.
Lead outs into the base of the Calais punchy climb. Lead outs in the Paris-Nice stage, where the three went clear in 2022. Like, the best rouleur, I think, in the world, and he had to retire after his, shocking heart attack. Thank God he's okay, but he's not replaceable. None of the riders they brought in replace him. Affini can't replace him, so Dylan Van Baarle can kind of do it, and he's a better climber, but he can't do the sprinty stuff in the class, and like, he's more of a leader in the classics.
But how I see it is that I can see riders in the team replace parts of Van Hooydonk that are relevant to that specific race. And we'll get to that in the schedule. I won't spoil what I'm talking about. But I fully agree with you that Van Hooydonk is the one on this list that, even perhaps more than Roglic, is a key element to a lot of victories in this team this year, like Tour de France and Classic. Obviously, Roglic won the races outside of that. But without Van Hooydonk, those other races might not have been so easy to win in the first place. Vingegaard might have crashed a few times at the Tour de France and might have been out. In the classics, Wout van Aert might not have been able to pull off whatever he did. Laporte might not have been able to pull off what he did, etc., etc. And
like Gent Wevelgem, who went on first Kemmelberg to create the group that Mads Pedersen had to panic bridge to, and Jakobsen, Luke thought he was going to win the race, but he was in the Chaspetat. When he attacked and he was with Merlier. It was Van Hooydonk.
Yeah.
And and he's ruining his own race there.
Outgoing transfers aside, because I'll say it again, Sam Omen, Rosen, Van Emden, Voss, I don't see any issue with those riders leaving at this point in their career. Incoming riders outside of the ones we already mentioned, we mentioned Jorgensen, we mentioned Tullet, we mentioned Uytebroeks. Bertrand Hagenes, Stonemietert, Louis van Belle. Those three are coming from the actual dev team. I'll be honest, I know Hagenes and Stonemietert more than I know Louis van Belle. As in, I only remember Louis van Belle from Lavenir when I was watching that specific race. But Hagenes, future classics rider, is how I perceive it, slash ruler rider, because that man is really strong, but he's also relatively versatile, because I swear I remember a semi-mountainous stage, wasn't a pure mountain stage, but a semi-mountain stage where he was relatively close to the victors in that stage. And he's a rider where I believe he's already going to be in the classics team this season. Maybe not in the big races, I don't know yet. I haven't gone through like 8 riders yet, but he might actually make some of the big classics, like an E3 and so forth, and an Omloop, stuff like that. And Storm admitted, I'm thinking, I still see him as a domestique at this point.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, he, you know, I assume he'll do, like he did Gran Camino with Vingegaard this year as a domestique. That's always a fantastic learning experience. Maybe he'll get to go to a one-week race that the tour guys aren't going to. And because, like, there's still, as I said, like, as we said, with Roglic out, there is opportunities. Yes, there's Vingegaard. Yes, Kuss may lead a couple of 1 weeks, but still, are you going to tell Stone Emitted to fully ride for Kuss in a random 1 week?
Roman or something?
Like UAE Tour? Probably you let both of them do their thing on their feet, right? Mm-hmm. At least what I think. And so I think he'll have a split schedule, and yeah, but in the big race with the big boys, if he gets to go there, that's, yeah, probably as a domestique. Yep. Van Bell's kind of a good 10-minute absolute power, sort of overall ruler-type rider. Try and develop him into, can do a sprint lead out, can ride the classics, that sort of thing.
But we didn't mention Mr. Lemmy yet.
Mr. Birch. Bart Lemon.
Yes.
Yeah, from Human Powered Health. So he, Human Powered Health, did Gran Camino with Visma Lisa bike, and Vingegaard, did he win that TT?
Yes.
He did. Padun won it the year before, actually.
With Vingegaard the drones, won that. Remember?
Yeah.
With the drone footage, that was so fucking crazy to the point that was actually endangering Vingegaard.
And like the drop-off, there was just like a drop-off, right? Of the, the road. He came fourth in that TT, which, by the way, was a similar speed. It was like quite a hilly TT. It wasn't just like an aero one. It was quite hilly, good to prep for the tour. He was a minute and 5 behind Vingegaard and 30 seconds behind Dennis, and he beat, and so fourth. That's really good. And he also, I think he was in the military. Maybe Luke can confirm. But he was in the military as well, so he's come to cycling late. That was his first year on Human Powered Health. So there's obviously a bit of latent talent in there. Tall rider, and I wonder if they can develop him into, like, the Hersink role when Hersink retires at the end of 24. And maybe even more they'll be hoping for. But sort of just like, he's Dutch. He showed some promise. He's got some good absolute power. And yes, I think they backed themselves to develop him into something much better than he looked on Human Powered Health.
I agree. There is potential, but I'm also on the edge of, they would not have signed him if he wasn't Dutch.
I don't know.
I believe that way. As in, I do believe that he's going to do something next year.
Yeah, probably. Like, probably if the team's Italian, they get Baroncini, you know?
Yeah,
like that,
exactly.
They get Baroncini instead, who is more hyped and has, like, won Worlds U23. That is a fact. Like, that's how it works. Or if they're French, they get Armurail or something.
Yeah.
There's like a similar profile, I think. So yeah, nationality of course plays into it, but I don't think it's like, I don't think he's not just a tokenistic
Dutch, he's not rider top
either. Nah. Hagenes, I'm very high on. If you go watch Munsterland Giro, and go watch, if you can find it, Ronde van Drenthe, the finals of that. And Drenthe, he beat Florian Vermeersch. Munsterland Giro, he beat Groves, Pedersen, and Co. Yep. First one was on his own. Second one, Laporte and Affini were rolling moves. I think he's got really, really good race sense. Like, I think he's got really good feel. So within the system, I think he's going to be really, really good.
And you also need that. You need those loyal riders over the years that stay in the team, that are fine with that, that got the chance at 28 to do so, and that can be there when, for example, when you need to fill up a roster of Santos to an under, you can add a valuable rider that can actually perform.
Yeah, like Stan Emitted, maybe even as well. Like, I don't know if Tullis. Milan Vada, who won Guangxi. So I think winning with the second line riders is also important. But yeah, that's. How would you rate their transfers, Benji?
Well, let's be honest about it. It's not horrible, eh? Like, I said it, most of the transfers going out are ones that you can 100% replace, and the two that you
or need had to no choice.
Yeah, exactly. And the two that you need to replace or need to try to replace are ones that you can't do anything about. Van Hooydonk, they can't do anything about that. Roglic, he wanted to leave, so you can't actually put the foot in front of the door without sounding like a dick if you're a team. So incoming transfers, I am on board with most of the transfers, if not all of the transfers, to be honest. Like, I don't know Luvan Bella enough to say whether the choice of doing it this year would already be a good decision, but I guess I'll see that throughout 2024. I just haven't seen him race as much as I've seen Stonemated Hagnes and so forth, so can't 100% judge on that. And that brings me to the 2024 schedule. We've got the benefit of knowing where the riders are planned to ride. The danger of teams announcing their Grand Tour teams in December is that 99% of the time they are changed by the time the Grand Tour starts. But at least we know their plans. And it starts with the classics. The names already written down for that is Wout van Aert, Jorgensen, and Thijs Benoot. I have added question marks in maybe Per Strandhagenes is at it, maybe Jan Tratnik. Laporte, I would also name as a rider that will probably go to the classics. And
well, Van Baarle's quite... got to be in there as well, right?
Yeah, Van Baarle got to be in there as well. In addition, and
he's like, "See you in July."
Shows up in July. Hey guys,
I think you'll do some classics.
And we're at 7 riders now, I think, but I don't know who the 8th is because I forgot the list of riders they have in their team.
Yeah, so I think Van Hooydonk comes out of that core. And you've got Hagenes in. Afeni was pretty important for the classic. Yeah. I say Afeni's an incredibly important rider for 24. Like, he is like that rider that if he has an issue, he is so important for this team to do, like, brake control,
positioning,
lead outs into like the Molenberg type things, because Van Hooydonk's not here anymore. Also, there's a big opportunity for the Van Dijk brothers. Like,
yes.
The Van Dijk brothers with Van Hooydonk out is a big opportunity for one of them to step up into that role in the classics, I see.
Would you see Hagenes or Van Dijk get the earlier chance to get into an RVV team?
Into an RVV team?
Or Roubaix. Those two.
Hagenes is probably more highly touted right now. He's already just won 2 like semi-classics.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the earlier work, the Van Dijk brothers, Hagenes, you actually probably try and see if he can, can he work in a final of Koerner-Brussel-Koerner?
Can he be the...
Like Van Hooydonk with
the
Benoit.
Final of Koerner. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Example.
I see he could do that, whereas the Van Dijk brothers, it's a big opportunity for them in major races, I think now.
Who's a better brother? That is the question.
Are both good at different things.
I actually agree. It's like, it's one of those like brother duos where there's not a major difference between the two, and you could replace one with the other and it might actually not make the magical difference. But then we look at the Hill Classics, and that's the area where in 2023 they were barely existent, I would say. Maybe that's a bit too hard, but they were barely existent, let's be honest about it. In the results, they were barely existent. Thijs Benoot is the only man written down for it at the moment, so we don't know other names, but I think it's pretty fair to say that a rider like Valter will probably do the Hill Classics, even though combination with the Giro might not be necessarily ideal, but I do expect him to do Hill Classics somehow. Ben Tullett, I would love to see doing these races. And then I'm starting to wonder, like, we know Milan Vader did well at Guangxi, and he's doing Santos Tour and Under, he's at least scheduled to do so. I still believe that Strade Bianche is a race where I want to see Milan Vader come to his actual arrive after that crash, the return, and so forth. I believe that he's got a mountain bike history, eh? So should be pretty good on fucking gravel. So Strade, definitely Vader, but the actual Hill Classics, I'd put him in there as well, because it's not like you have Vingegaard and a line of 10 men ready to ride these Hill Classics. And who else rides it outside of Benoit, Vader, Valter, Tullett, and so forth, I would say. Because then look at the rest of the team, and yes, Jorgensen would be great at that, but I'd expect to see him at the Cobble Classics and maybe Amstel.
Yeah. I mean, Jorgensen, I think, should be good at them. He won Tour of Oman. He's good on sort of a 5-minute climb, I think. But yeah, it's not... I think there's just opportunities here, for Tullett. Valter, as you said, Benoit, and But then if Jorgensen does all the... it's positioning and they're harder. You know, they're harder races compared to like a five-minute effort in Guangxi in the TDU.
I see potential, my friend. I see potential.
Yeah, if he can get to Redoute fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But that's a big question mark.
Correct.
Maybe I'd like to see him do it in sort of... They don't really do the thing is they don't do so many of the Italian
or Spanish.
They don't do La Guelia. They don't do those dot pros that suit him that are where he could cut his teeth like UAE do or Ineos do.
Yeah.
But I think the Hill Classics is not going to be as strong as their Cobble Classics. Although I am keen to see Tullet in flesh, and Volta and Benoit and co. But yeah, are these? Should Van Aert do Amstel again or Brabant?
I think he's starting the classics early. He's starting with Omloop en Kuurne. And then he was skipping MSR and Strade. And he is riding RVV Roubaix and so forth. If you do one of Hill, it must be Amstel because you're not doing LBL and so forth in a Giro year, even though Valter's trying to combine it. But I would say that. I think he should do it, but maybe it changes. If he wins Roubaix, maybe he's like, fuck it. Might as well focus fully on the Giro now, celebrate a bit, spend some time with the kid and so forth. So
has he won an Amstel?
Well, not really, because Pidcock won that year.
Yeah. still a box to be ticked.
Anyway, talking about Giro.
The named riders, Kjaan Oosterbroeks to go for his GC. Wilco Kelderman as climbing support, and maybe I'd love to see him go for a stage win.
Sorry, but is that disrespect to Kelderman just saying climbing support?
No, because I want to see him go for stage win.
I think he's already podiumed the tour. Leader.
No, I don't. No, I want him to win a stage.
Did you just say that Kelderman already podiumed the tour?
No, podiumed a Grand Tour. He podiumed the Giro in 2020. Okay. No?
Yeah, he did.
So fifth in the Giro doesn't move the needle for me. I want him to see him raise the arms.
Now, mate, you say that, but use your influence. Tell the people to send him to a fucking stupid one-week race. I don't give a fuck through the Hungary. And let him win on that stupid bloody hill stage that is there.
Bro, how are you going to beat Hirschi on that? He eats on that terrain.
He's always doing these top level races, which means that he can't win a bloody stage.
It's gonna be World Tour. The curious thing is, Kelderman's got like a half decent sprint. He's got like a half decent sprint.
He's like, it's not really the same, but McNulty kinda, as in like he's got that kick in similar fashion that McNulty does, roughly, very roughly.
Nah, Ben Healy just threw. He just threw that stage.
Wait, what stage?
The Giro stage. With McNulty in that sprint.
Whoa,
jeez. Healy rode that final not very well. also going for sprints is the Tour of Britain combo of Olav Kooi and Wout van Aert, which is pretty successful there. I would say them. I assume Affini's going. He's Italian. It's the law. I assume he'd be going to the Giro as well. And that's a pretty stacked lead out, I must say, especially for the Giro d'Italia. Maybe not for the Tour de France, but for the Giro.
Yeah.
Given that most teams got about half a lead out on their roster these days because it's all about the pilot. But Welsford will be going with Danny van Poppel, we assume.
Yep.
Caleb Ewan's going with
Groves.
Maybe Caleb Stewart. Caden Groves, we assume, is going. And Milano's going. UAE named Milano. So there's people there.
Milan's also going for Trek. Yes, he's at Trek these days.
He is, yep.
I will say, Kjaan Oosterbroeks, Kelderman, Olav Kooi, Wout van Aert. Wout van Aert needs to be lead out in the regular sprints. I don't remember the Giro parkour fully to know how many chances Wout van Aert will have outside of that, but I think there's at least one or two stages where he could fight for himself. You might know that better.
Two TTs.
Yep, the TTs, definitely. Outside of that, in addition to the team, I would expect Valter to be there. Even though he's going to the Hill Classics, because if he's not on the temporary list or the provisional list for the Tour de France, which, why is he not there? Attila Valter represented? I want to see a Hungarian at the Tour de France. Anyway, that around the side. If he's not at the Tour de France, he has to go to the Giro because the Vuelta would be disrespectful.
Yep, I agree.
So Hill Classics Giro double for him, I would expect. Affini, I fully agree with. You can't just send Wout and Coy, even though that would already be a pretty successful combo. Adding Affini to that would be major. That would be a really bloody good lead out. Correct.
So,
and outside of that, those six riders are on paper. Then I'm thinking, what else can be added to this? And they did mention...
You need someone like Hesink.
You do, but I wouldn't send Hesink to this race. I'd send him to the Vuelta. Hesink at the Vuelta always is better. My head, Hesink Vuelta
true.
Works.
He's good in the warm conditions. Like he does TDU, loves it every year. And then the Vuelta...
Stornemeter? Does he get that opportunity at the Giro? Because I feel like if you send Vingegaard to the Vuelta, will be difficult.
Yeah, but if you want to use Affini in the lead out and you've got Van Aert and Coy for a sprint stage and you want to win the stage, you have to control the stage. Like, people are not going to do it for you in the Giro. So, like that DeMarchi, I can't remember who he's with, Simon Clark stage. So, like that. And then we got another Napoli stage. So they got to have someone who can control. And Van Baarle's doing the tour. He's on that list. So with no Van Hooijdonk, I think Hesink is good at that. Who else is there? Like Stoudemire, I would think Hesink is better at that all day than Stoudemire.
And Louis van Baarle is not on that page yet. Hesman, no. Well, he's still on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to stay there. And he's probably going to be ditched by the team eventually, is my guess at this point. Who else is there in this team that could play that role? Trotny could do that, but I would, he's on the list of the Tour de France, so he would have to do Giro Tour double after already doing some of the classics, most likely. So that's Cohen a very
Bowman,
busy schedule.
But Hesink, I think, is better at it.
A Van Dijk, a brother, for his Grand Tour? It's not
that's
actually
a
bad
option.
Idea.
Yeah.
Van Baarle might be too early.
Yeah, so but someone has to do that. Someone has to do that. Yep. Not just the flat stages too. There's obviously going to be Van Aert, Michael Matthews stages. So it's
Corbin Strong stages.
Yeah, and you got to Israel should send him to the Giro, but you got to have a strong, versatile team that can get over a hill or a sort of 10k 6% climb quickly to control. So it's interesting the team they're sending. Outerbrook's probably doesn't look like too much support for him, but.
Well,
if he's close in GC, then Kelderman, Van Aert, Valter, as you said, and co, that's not bad at the back end of the race.
I agree. After we're going through the schedule, I do want to talk about Van Aert a bit, but let's first go to the Tour de France and the Vuelta team first.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A second. Tour de France.
Well, no, you said we're going to talk about Van Aert in a second. I thought, were you surprised to see him do the Giro?
I'll talk about that when I discuss the overall year thing, because we also got to talk about Wout van Aert, Vuelta, and so forth, which has also been announced. Tour de France, Vingegaard, Sepkus. That's expected. After that, Jorgensen. I see that because, well, let's just go through it fully. Vingegaard, Kus, Kruiswijk, Jorgensen, Laporte, Tish Benoit, Van Baarle, Trotnik. They needed to replace Van Hooijdonk. They needed to replace Van Aert, who is not riding the Tour de France, and Kelderman, who is going to the Giro. And how I see it is that Trotnik is their partial replacement of Van Hooijdonk in this list, maybe with some changes in the order of the train in certain stages, but that's at least an attempt to it in my eyes. Jorgensen, in my eyes, is an attempt to replace the Van Aert satellite rider plus train rider. And Kruiswijk is the replacement of Kelderman, but that I don't see. Kelderman is just better, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, Kelderman created the... He pulled before Kuss on the Tourmalet and shredded the grip. He, like, dropped Hindley, I think, just about.
Correct.
He was in the breakaway on Col de la Loze. He pulled very strongly on Peter Dome, Kelderman.
More versatile?
He is punchier. He is like, and especially in break formation. I remember he was quite active, jumping. But, yeah, you got to split them between the Giro and the Tour. And
I would have switched them around, personally. And I would have split them around. But I do understand if you look at individually the parkours, that the Tour parkour fits Kruiswijk better than the Giro parkour. Because the longer climbs, the non-volatile climbs, or in the Tour de France. So I see that as a potential reason why Kruiswijk is going to the Tour de France instead of Kelderman. But I do believe that Kelderman, even on that terrain, I would trust more.
Personally. I think they're thinking of Solaison and Galibier in 22. And so they're thinking of the Isola stage. And like yeah, I agree. Kelderman has been a better rider in 23.
And 24 is also 2 years later than 2022. So it's going to come to a point where they might reach that brink of like Kruiswijk is no more, is washed. But I'm not sure if they have reached that yet. Solaison was a surprise to me as well in 2022. But that was also a bit of a one-trick pony event that year. It's not like he did that throughout the entire year. And then he crashed out of the Tour.
Yeah, so there's they also the crash risk. Well, there's a crash risk. How do you evaluate the crash risk? I see, Jorgensen obviously, I think, replaces Van Aert. Jorgensen, his strike rate of getting into the breakaway is unbelievably good. Laporte, I think, replaces Van Hooydonk in the finals.
I see that.
Well, he ain't going for himself in the sprints, at least. I don't think he should be allowed to. He's got to keep... Someone has to, with a bit of oomph, has to keep Vingegaard safe to 3Ks, and it can't, it's not Van Baal or Tratnik. So then you got,
In the mountain stage and so forth, I do see Tratnik taking the Van Hooydonk role. It's like, it's a partial replacement.
Yeah, he can pull like that. Yeah.
So I agree that Laporte is the one that needs to go for the 10-kilometer keep your boys safe.
Are they weak in the mountains?
I don't think you can call this team necessarily weak in the mountains, even if
it's weaker than UAE, right?
Obviously, it's weaker than UAE, but it's got one spear. You've got a quadruple, quintuple, whatever you call it, trident in UAE, and you don't know what the order of their work is gonna be. So you're not gonna tell me that the UAE team will work perfectly together, as in it's gonna be a perfect train for Pogacar or something. I don't see that. It's going to be a multi-leader strategy to try and upset Vingegaard, and I reckon they will try multi-leader strategies 100% against Vingegaard.
But just discussing that,
because otherwise you don't send 17 leaders in the team.
But let's imagine like we've got the Iswa stage 10 or 12 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh. Tratnik, Benoit, Kuss, Jorgensen, and Vingegaard jumping to get in breaks. You think Almeida's going to be there?
Almeida's not going to be in that breakaway. He's also not necessarily the rider I'd expect to be in that breakaway.
So are you saying they're going to do that in like the mountains? Like Sestriere, they just start jumping. Okay, I see that.
I think that's more of an issue. Because then they're looking at these mountain stages for the terrain, but they might not have the cojones in the team of like the medium mountain specialists to go in breakaways like... I don't remember
Hindley,
if Soler's in the Tour de France
Hindley
team.
Like Hindley sort of did.
Is Soler in the Tour de France team?
Yeah, I think he was.
Because he's kind of that kind of rider who can go in those moves and play that rider of like...
For better or worse.
Yeah, depending on the day.
No, he gets in, but sometimes... Remember he jumped and it brought Kelderman and Benoit in on Lowe's? As satellite riders? My boy. Soler's actually so fucking good.
I agree. Would you rather have Soler in the team? Or
Tratnik.
Or Kruiswijk or Kelderman.
See that's I don't think that's the two because
Soler's more fun.
No, because if you take then you're really, really weak on climbing.
I agree.
But like him or Benoit or him or Tratnik.
Soler's Vuelta level equals higher than anything I've seen from Kruiswijk outside of Solaison.
I mean, Benji, when it got to like the third week, he shit himself. He fucking lost 15 minutes on purpose.
Yeah, but Kruiswijk shits himself on 90% of the mountain stage in the last 3 years.
True. Soler, listen, I'm a Soler. You know I'm a Soler fanboy, so.
You're disrespecting our boy.
I'll take Soler over Vingegaard, just for the entertainment.
That's what I needed to hear.
But yeah, it's a pretty solid team for the tour. Let's just say that. And I expect Jorgensen. I think people are sleeping on his climbing. I really do. Like, I really think on those long, like Kuyol, on Isola, on Sestriere, I think Jorgensen could be cooking. So don't sleep on him.
I think people are underrating how easily 2023 Wout van Aert can be replaced. 2022 Wout van Aert, very difficult to replace. I don't know how you can replace that. That was a monster, ultimate MVP. But 2023, I'm only really looking at the Tourmalet stage, able to get in the breakaway.
Take that. Could Matteo Jorgensen have got in that breakaway with Tobias Johannessen, Michał Kwiatkowski, and got over the Tourmalet and pulled the valley in the first 10 minutes of Col Terrain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
The gravel stage, you probably would want Wout instead of someone else.
But you've got still but then
Jorgensen doesn't have... You don't have the conversation with Jorgensen about going for the win on that stage.
Yeah.
It's like, you're sitting next to Jonas all day. Like, and he knows that.
And Laporte as well.
I'll let him have a crack.
What?
Let him have a go.
No, I'm not allowing it.
All right, fair enough.
You're not going to tell me that. You've been hitting on the hammer of Wout van Aert needs to ride a couple stage for this leader. Many years, and now Laporte's gonna get a chance. Belgium's in uprise.
Romantic. Let French riders have a crack. Vuelta is Vingegaard, Kuss, Van Aert. Is that who else they announce?
Tollet, Gesink is on the list. I don't know if Gesink is confirmed and Tollet is confirmed. I think Tollet was confirmed. Tollet mentioned that he's going for the Vuelta in 2024. Kuss, Van Aert, and Vingegaard as well. And if I look at those five riders, I see that as logical. I see Gesink as his final Grand Tour La Vuelta. With the stuff he's done for the team, he deserves that.
Well, and it's really not good like he should. In the recent one.
No, exactly. No, and who knows? We might see Rabobank Gesink back, and he might suddenly be fighting with Vingegaard for the victory. Roglic style.
I don't think so. They go a lot quicker than 10 years ago.
Who else would fit in this team? I don't think we should be predicting the Vuelta rest of the spots yet, because there's so much that can happen throughout the year. Who knows? Steven Kruijswijk might crash out of the Tour de France, which is... There's a solid chance of that, which is unfortunate to say. He's got a high crash rate, which means he might end up in the Vuelta.
You got Keldegoat, you got Vuelta could do two, you've got Stan Mitter, you got... But loads of guys could do the Vuelta.
It is time to get my Belgian flag out and ask, is Wout van Aert being disrespected?
I saw the articles already.
Is Wout van Aert being disrespected by having to play his little game in the classics, then having to go to the Giro and the Vuelta to try and reap up some rewards that are left out of the Tour de France, because Vingegaard's priority for the Tour de France, and then have Coy be added to the Giro team as well, to the point that he can't even sprint for the flat stages, so Ciclamino is going to be difficult for Wout van Aert. So he's just going to be going for stage at the Giro, which is maybe three of them that he has an opportunity in, including the time trials
forth. It's more than three.
Yeah, but he's not going to win more than three. It's not going to like he's going to win all of them that he has a chance in.
Now the Poggi's going stage one. Stage one looks a lot different,
I agree. With Poggi going, some of the stage will be harder because there will be more interesting from the viewership's perspective. That being said, he's not going for GC, so that's something that is very clear. Unless someone makes a GC Wout account, that's what I heard Merijn say on the presentation.
Dude, that was legit. Someone just made up that he was going for GC.
And I actually went back and La Gazzetta didn't actually even report that he was going. They said he might go for GC. And that article was being placed out of context with like, he's going for GC. And I'm like, no. Not ever happening.
Nothing had been decided. We were still in meetings. I've seen these articles saying he's going for GC. I was like, what? Like nothing had been decided.
But is he being disrespected?
I saw there's already a Belgian former rider saying yes.
Number one,
yes,
he gets the opportunities in the classics that he needs to want,
yep,
that he wants to have. That's more of a sentence. That's fine. That's what he wants in life. That's a priority. He needs to win Roubaix or RVV this year. That's what he needs to do. Well, Wout will say, I don't need to do anything, which is true. He's a pretty good rider outside of, even if he doesn't win those two races. But ideally, he wins one of those two races, how I perceive it. When it comes to the other races, at the Tour de France, he's definitely chained with Vingegaard and has limited opportunities. So he probably partially chose to go for the Giro, is how I see it. I don't think they forced him to go for the Giro necessarily. And then I think the only thing that's a bit shady is having Coy in the team, which I can understand from a Van Aert fan perspective that's not fun, because that reduces the chance for Ciclamino. But Coy is a better sprinter, and in my opinion, has just as much chance of winning stages at the Giro than Wout Van Aert does, especially with Van Aert as a lead out and Affini as a lead out. So I've been shouting for Coy to go to a fucking Grand Tour at this team for 2.5 years now. They're finally sending him to the Giro. It should have happened 2 years ago when Dumoulin and Foss showed up.
With the best lead out in the world now.
Yeah. He's finally there. So I'm fine with that. Obviously, Van Aert's season will be focused on Olympics and World TT. I don't know about the road race. I haven't dissected the gradients of the Zurich climbs yet, so I don't know if it's viable against Pogacar and so forth. It's going to be a bit more difficult, I think. But Olympics should definitely be a big goal of Wout van Aert. And then I think Velta just trying to reap up some more awards at the end of the season, in a season where he's focusing on other goals, and that's something where
win a stage in all three Grand Tours,
for example. But I must say that I'm coming to a point where I feel like he's not necessarily being disrespected, but this is the year where I feel like, okay, if he was on a different team, he would probably be riding the classics plus the Tour de France as leader, not necessarily for GC, obviously, but Sagan style.
Probably. Yeah.
But would he be as good outside of Jumbo?
Yeah. And you could also go to the Tour and not win a stage, like Van der Poel, and prepare all that time and not win a stage. Van der Poel had a pretty good season outside of that, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's not a bad... And also, like, no one's forced to do anything. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's the big star riders don't just get handed their race schedule and say, here it is, thanks. You're doing that next year. Thanks for coming.
If Wout wanted Jurgensen's position at the Tour de France, Jurgensen would not be in the Tour de France, which I don't mean that Jurgensen doesn't deserve to be there. Wout van Aert just has more of a string to pull in the team, I reckon.
Yeah, and like he's done that role. He's been part of the Tour winning team for 2 years. So like,
yeah,
there wouldn't be any reason to not take him if he wanted to go in that role. So.
Correct.
But I think it'd be good for him to just win a lot of races. Like, just win a lot of races in 24. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, you may not win the monument. Bad luck, puncture, another guy too good on the day. But hey,
he's winning Roubaix.
Yeah, sure. But it's a lot easier to swallow that, I think, if you look back at the end of the season and you won 10 World Tour races, including 6 Grand Tour stages. Then you're like, well, fuck it. It wasn't that bad a year, was it? Like, all that altitude camp and stuff was still worth it. So, and of course, he'll be one of the top three favorites for the Worlds and Olympic TT. Maybe not Ganna, Tarling, Remco, but so no, I don't think he's being disrespected, but I do agree that, yeah, if he was at Quickstep with Remco, does he have to help Remco on the gravel stage?
Yeah, but there's imagine a lot of teams outside of Quickstep too.
Imagine the press.
Actually, at Quickstep, I reckon that you wouldn't have to stay with Remco on the gravel stage, because they'd probably have Asgreen to do that, or someone else.
True.
They'd have someone in addition to that that would... Yeah. It would, imagine Wout van Aert at Quickstep. Would it be that different? Is Asgreen better than Van Baarle at the moment?
No. Asgreen turned up for like 3 races a year last year.
That being said,
he's pretty good in those 3, but...
True. But hey, we've spoken about Wout van Aert a lot. We've spoken about whether the new Tour de France riders can replace the old Tour de France riders. Realistic aims for Visma Lab in 2024 I'm shouting Visma Lab, but they officially mentioned the words Yellow Bee in their article on their website.
I think that's just like the holding company.
Yes, they renamed Blanco Pro Cycling to Yellow Bee, and the idea behind it is to make
them Blanco anyway.
Yeah, but that's different. This is different. They're changing it to Yellow Bee for a reason. They're not doing it just for, oh, we're changing the holding company. They're doing it to try and make a Wolfpack-like thing. And I'm not fucking having it.
We're calling them the Beehive. Or the
killer bees.
If you're going to put honeycomb on the jersey, then that's what you're going to get called.
The Yellow Submarines.
Submarines?
Very random.
Yeah, so realistic aims for Visma Lab in 2024. Win a monument, but preferably a cobbled one, because I don't think Van Aert's doing Sanremo. So win RVV or Roubaix. That's got to be, that's something they're missing.
Correct.
If you've won 3 Grand Tours and Roglic leaves, well, you still got to win 2 of them. So win the Tour and the Vuelta.
Yeah.
Win a lot of Grand Tour stages in the Vuelta and Giro.
I'm saying 10.
Especially the Giro.
Aim for 10.
Across the year?
Yes.
Nah, 15.
Really? I thought I was already stretching it out. But like, 15 Grand Tour stages.
That's Coy's job.
Yeah, but he's only going to 1 Grand Tour, eh? Let's repeat that. He's not going to 10, eh?
Yeah, but Van Aert's also going there with full chains off. And the Vuelta.
If Van Aert is there with Coy and 100% leads him out with Affini, then Coy should be able to get
at least
2 to 3 Grand Tour stage at the Giro. Wout Van Aert should be able to get at least 1 of the time trials and maybe another stage. That's 5. Jonas is not cleaning 10 Grand Tour stage and the Tour and the Vuelta combined.
Van Aert's doing the Vuelta.
Yes, but
you have to set a high goal. If you have 3 Grand Tours the year before, you have to set a high goal.
That is already high.
No, 15 or bust.
Okay, 15 Grand Tour stages or Jumbo's completely washed, is what you're saying.
Finnish franchise, yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I think another Finnish franchise.
true. Well, they're still selling produce, right, Luke?
Yeah, they are. They're still a supermarket.
Okay.
They just don't give a fuck about cycling anymore because one of their founders who was the real person, I think Karel van Aert, might have been making this name up. He was part of the Jumbo management that decided to go into the team, and he passed away a few years ago or a year and a half ago, and the new management just didn't give a fuck about cycling, it seems.
Yeah,
or not enough.
Yeah.
Hot takes?
Hold on. I was trying to use my brain. Another goal I think is very, very important with Roglic going is that... You have to get these young guys progressing. And it's something we talked about with Ineos a little bit as a very important, like maybe the most important goal for Ineos was one of Scheff, Pidcock, Rodriguez, Arensman, Tarling stepping up into like God mode tier. Pidcock marketing wise is, but in terms of like road performance, he's not there yet. And I think Jumbo need one of Jorgensen, Tullet, Stalnemittet, Hagenes, Outerbrooks. I'm missing people. Obviously, Gloag, who we haven't mentioned at all. Even Walter, can he improve a little bit? They need these guys. Coy, even. Can Coy turn into Philipsen? I don't know. They need these guys to improve.
I don't see him coming into either. Yeah. But you never know.
One of these guys has to, or two of these guys has to. They got to build up those guys to replace Roglic and his wins.
I think that in general, the overall feeling with the realistic aims is that their aim should be to be the perceived best team in the world. What I mean with that is UE celebrating their little trophy of UCI world ranking team, best team thingy.
Pretty sick trophy, though.
Pretty sick trophy, but I don't give a fuck about UCI world ranking winner because Jumbo was the perceived best team of 2023. And then I look at 2024 and they need to get that again. And we know that from a roster standpoint, it's unlikely that Visma will be the leader of the UCI world ranking for teams at the end of 2024. UAE will probably be that. So be the perceived best team in the world is the aim for Visma Lab in 2024. And to be doing that, you need to win two Grand Tours. You need to win one of REV and Roubaix. You need to win like 75 Grand Tour stages, according to Patrick. You just confirmed that.
Well,
75?
Grand Tour 75 stages? Race wins.
Oh, Grand Tour stages, you said.
Benji, there's only 63 every year. Come on, let's...
don't you count the Santa Stood and Under?
Yeah, the fourth Grand Tour.
Grandissima. Tour of Southland.
Yeah. Hot take time.
Okay.
Do you have any?
Like, it's hard to figure out a hot take here. I'm saying that Wout van Aert wins Roubaix, which after the amount of years he's tried might be considered a hot take at this point. But I think what we haven't mentioned is that with Pogacar not riding RVV, Wout has a better chance of actually winning RVV.
Yeah, I think
so. And the numerical advantage of Jumbo or Visma Lab will be more likely to be a factor in that race with Pogacar not being there. So I think it's a very realistic...
Now you can hyper-focus on MVDP.
If there's any year of the last six or so where I believe Wout van Aert can actually win one of the two, if not both of them, it might be 2024.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that he wins both based on just the fact that he might have some bad luck somewhere. But he's going to win one of RVV and Roubaix, and I think it's more likely to be Roubaix, even though I just said that... I just said the opposite. I just said that if you look at RVV, look at the competition, the fact that Pogacar's not there, it's more likely that the Visma effect, the numerical advantage, will be a thing there. That's not a hot take. Fuck it. A hot take. Wout van Aert wins both RVV and Roubaix.
Jeez, that would be a big like comeback. Well, not a comeback.
Is that the hottest take of the season so far?
No. I think I've said some insane shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I said like Ben would win the Giro, Ben O'Connor. Did I?
I don't know, but we'll count it now.
I've called a lot of people to win the Giro. No, calling the second favorite to win those races and the first favorite for Roubaix. No, I'm not giving it to you. It's a hot take, but not fully unhinged, I would say.
But
I think.
Okay. You think a lot?
I think GC Koos podiums the Tour.
It's not unlikely, but I'd find it a lot funnier if, let's say, Vingegaard wins the Tour de France again, that we'd see like five UAE riders in position 2, 3, yeah, 4, 5,
that
and
would
six.
Be very, very amusing. Yes.
It would be very funny. I don't see Koos necessarily podiuming the Tour, so I'm going to accept that as a hot take. I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Vader podiums three World Tour races. Two and under, Bologna and
really
Guangxi.
Hot. True.
Because Bologna has that hill stage, Guangxi has that hill stage, and Two and under has Wollongong Hill. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, it has Wollongong Hill, and it has, the one song with P, can't remember. I'm trying to think of another hot take.
What is Bart Lemon doing?
Do you reckon they'll get smoked in the TTs?
Not really.
Does Jumbo Visma win a world? Do they win a World Tour TT next year?
Yes.
Which one?
In the Giro, most likely.
Ghana. Remco.
Ghana has days where he's not that great sometimes.
True.
Poggi on the flat TTs probably going to get beaten by Wout van Aert even if he has a bad day.
I'm going to do. I got to do a negative one. I got to do a negative one. Well, yeah.
Go for an extreme negative one, eh?
I'm going to do a negative one.
They don't podium
they
any
won't.
Grand Tour.
No, it's possible. Like, Vingegaard has a crash all of a sudden. I'm going to say they don't win a World Tour TT. And I don't think they...
Man, Vuelta. Who's going to beat Wout van Aert in the Vuelta in TTs?
Tarling,
is he going there?
Remco, or I don't know, man.
Remco's not. Well,
it's a hot take because it's unlikely, you know?
Yeah, true.
That's by definition.
That's the point. I will say that.
I think Otterbrook's podium's the Giro as well.
I think that's possible. But I'll still allow it for a hot take.
And I think Jorgensen wins Roubaix. Not Roubaix, Flanders. Flanders.
That would have been a hot take. Jorgensen winning Roubaix.
And RV, he's a top 10 rider. I think he wins RV and he's a top 10 rider in the world. By points.
The crazy thing is I don't
see... Is that
see
that hot? Yeah, it's kind of like
the scenarios
just factoring
that I do
in improvement,
happening?
Right?
No, not even. As in, yeah, even, yes, even. He needs to roof to do that. But the RV scenario that I see in front of me is that Alpecin cannot control the anticipations of multiple Jumbo-Visma riders or Visma Lab riders,
including
Jorgensen, and Jorgensen benefits from that. I can actually fight out against Alexander Pedersen, whoever the fuck's in that group.
We can drop bigger guys on the climbs.
Yeah, but you know? Pedersen might still be hard to drop in RVV, especially if it rains.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Does Jorgensen have a rain bonus? Does that exist in America, rain?
I think Jorgensen's pretty good in shit weather, yeah. I think he's got a bit of mongrel dog in him. Where's he from? Boise, Idaho. I think it's cold there. And they ski and stuff. I think his family ski. So I think he's good in dog shit weather. Same with Hagen is from Norway, obviously.
I think Bentaled wins flesh.
That's a hot take. But okay. I also see it. Is there any foreboding, like, thing of doom coming upon them, Benji? Like we mentioned for UAE or
foreboding
Ineos.
Thing of doom.
No, more like you already, you know, obviously... You can't really be negative about the 2023 year, and to be honest, we're also
if
bullish with
crashes,
this roster.
They're
on
fucked.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't mean things like that. I more mean like, are they too light in certain roster positions, and other teams are overtaking them towards looking to 25 and 26? Are they getting the best young talent? Like, are there any? Because, like, I think Ineos Benson just said they announced Theodore Storm for 24. Albert Philipson, August Philipson, Albert Philipson went to Trek. Are they?
Del Toro is going to UAE. Big name.
Yeah.
It's like you don't need to have every single generational talent if you can foster the ones you have and have enough to be able to deliver with them. And I don't think they're going to be starving. Vingegaard alone, if he stays healthy, is enough to be very competitive at the Tour de France, to be able to win that Tour de France in the next 5 years.
And he just got extended to 28, I think, and Kuss to 27.
Yes. And I would say that Ayuso is proof that it's not super easy to go from that Isaac Del Toro position to winning Grand Tour victories in the span of 2-3 years, that you need some time to grow towards that position as well.
Yeah, and like when your 26 roster is Jorgensen, Hagenes, Nordhagen, Stalnemittet, Kuss, Laporte, Vingegaard, Alterbrooks, Van Aert, like that's a pretty good core for three seasons from 24.
Alterbrooks, you're right.
But so is UAE's,
100%, but that's the beauty of the sport. We've got things to look forward to.
Yeah, well, no, in our Q&A we did socialism and we took all of these riders and distributed them across evenly across all the other teams.
I think one thing I would mention is
don't you think the perception of the team has changed a lot the last two years?
100%.
I think they're viewed a lot more negatively now.
I think so as well.
A lot more.
On one end, you've got the Team Sky effect of if you start winning a lot, you're going to have more criticism. But I think outside of that, they had a few PR disasters, as in I still can't get over the fact of the Roglic versus Fred Wright article coming out, and they never went back on that. The fact that they never went back on that alienated so many fans from Jumbo-Visma at that moment, and there's still a lot of people questioning that moment. And going further from that, I think the way they handled Keon, not necessarily a horrible thing, but some people might be turned off by that, and it's a reason for the people
the
that already hated.
Good.
It's an extra reason for the people that already hated Jumbo-Visma to add on to that. And let's be honest about it, there's always going to be people talking about cheating and so forth when it comes to teams that are very, very prominent at the time. Hasmon probably didn't help in that case.
Yeah, there's no doping positive.
Yeah, there's no real update on that. I think there was a Willerflitz article today about Hesmon, as in why it's becoming quiet, and apparently Jumbo just hasn't heard much of an update from the UCI and so forth, because the UCI wants to leave it in the ITA, the testing agency, and...
Well, I think the UCI don't really know either, because it's...
Yeah.
The German anti-doping, like the national anti-doping body, is running it. So, like, and it's a criminal offense, so they... Yeah, they don't really know.
But it's good that he's suspended, and he's probably going to get thrown off the team the first opportunity they get. In the same way that Robert Stannard was ditched the first opportunity Alpecin got once they realized something
was off. I think his contract expired as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's something that will probably, if they keep winning, that will continue. And like you said, the Kian thing, like, because, you know, the press announcement came out before the agent's post came out, that said he terminated his contract or tried to on December 1st, it looked like Jumbo had just announced the signing of a rider who was still under contract. And then that was debatable, and then there's been a settlement, obviously, between the two teams and rider. But even like it's that, the timing of the two things.
I feel like there's a... Whether it's... I'm not sure who in the team it is, but there's someone in the team or... an idea in the team that is slightly out of touch with how they think people will react. As in, they don't think about how people react to certain things they do, even though the moments that happened are also rare moments. It's like, they didn't roast Fred Wright every week, which, good.
But it was a written press release on a website, you know, three days afterwards.
I fully agree. It felt like a major blow, I think, to the fandom of Jumbo Visma fans. And I think the fact that they never went back on that was major for me. But hey, we're here to talk about the 2024 season. And
But that is important.
Yep.
How you are perceived is extremely important. Your revenue source is getting companies who want exposure to give you money.
And
so it's important.
In addition to that, I would also say that Richard Plugge is probably playing a significant role in upsetting parts of opposing fans, as in the whole beer gate with Madiot back in the day.
France did not respond well to that.
Obviously, like, if you're going to say that French riders aren't... It came over to me as if Plugge was saying these French riders aren't getting results because they're drinking beer after their training. And I can assure you that there's a lot of riders in France and French teams that don't drink beer, that are perfect athletes. And obviously French fans aren't going to like that.
Yeah.
But I will say...
FDJ didn't like it. I brought this topic up myself, but I'm now going to play devil's advocate against myself.
Yeah.
That if you were within these teams at races... There is a lot of shit that goes on, even at teams you think are hyper-professional, that you, as an amateur, would be like, I cannot believe this happens during a Grand Tour, or they're doing this way. So, like, but of course, I think it's just not...
And
that was like a red rag to a bull. Like, French fans already, not just French fans, were already, like, not the biggest fans of Jumbo, dominating the Tour. But it is strange, like... A year before on Grenon, everyone was super happy. Because I think Poggi was less popular in 2021.
Yeah.
Poggi is way more popular now, I think, than in 2021.
But I also think a major effect is also the fact that they won three Grand Tours and podium the Vuelta. The Vuelta was a big thing in terms of them podiuming that. And also Roglic leaving and there not being certainties outside of the team of what the situation was internally, who was at fault for what, et cetera, that also alienates Danish fans against Slovenian fans. They're fighting on social media. And as a consequence, if Roglic leaves, then Slovenian fans are going to be like, well, and then afterwards, the management of Jumbo-Visma came out with just talking about the reality internally. And that puts Roglic in a less... desired light a tiny bit for some people, as in if you say he wanted to raise and so forth, some people might not like that, but Slovenian fans will feel like that is the management shitting on Roglic after he left, you know? If and if it would be the
truth. Yeah. I do think it's like, it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing. Because even like when I scroll like our Peloton, or I scroll like cycling news or GCA or the websites, like a disproportionate number of articles are about this team. And this is probably the longest preview of a team as well that we're doing. So like, I guess it's a good thing, but like success breeds contempt. But also,
but
I think a big focus for 24 should be, don't go out of your way to make people dislike you.
100%. But I will end on like the points that I spoke about earlier. Cycling has a history when it comes to doping and so forth, to the point that it's okay to question great performances, but I'm never going to go out of my way to be cynical about stuff like that and be like, oh, he did something great, so he must be doping. And I feel like there's a portion of fans that will do that.
But not just fans. Like, to me, like the comments of the FTJ performance guy, I think they crossed the line as well.
I don't remember specifically the comments, but I think I agree.
Yeah. So.
But that being said, hey, it's a sport with such a history.
Sky had to endure that for fucking 10 years. Exactly.
Fingo had a piss thrown at him, so he's getting the good side.
I mean, and that's the thing, everyone likes Ineos now. We were doing the Ineos preview being like, wouldn't it be great to get back to the good old Sky days, like up there competing with UAE and Yama. So it's
good old Sky days. Can we get Freeman back as doctor, or?
It's a rose. No, more like, bring that train back, baby. In the black and blue. Anyway. I think it's a pretty good preview. We got to pick their wins, Benji.
Jesus fucking Christ. World Tour wins. How many do they have again? 38?
38 this year.
I have a problem, mate.
What's your problem?
I don't know what percentage of wins I've already spent on other teams to the point that...
Mate, we'll have to either do zero for the last like two or three.
I think I have too many left.
We'll have to do like 20 for Intermarché.
I'm going to go with... Roglic victories are going to be gone, and he won multiple stages in Tirreno.
He won 11 World Tour stages. He won a 28% of 26.
I think they replaced those stages with Wout van Aert being more prominent in victories because of the schedule he has, and that places me on 38 World Tour victories.
Really? I'm going to go with... true. Coin, but nah, Roglic won too much. It has to be less. He won too much. Because he also won Catalunya and Torino, so I'm going with...
Yeah, but Coy didn't win many World Tour races.
Guangxi,
Bologna, and
Paris-Nice.
He's going to do more in 2024, right?
Yeah, there might only be sevens are still a pretty good haul.
You're saying they're going to win 15 Grand Tour stages?
Yeah.
But they have to.
I think they're going to be weaker in 1 weeks in winning stages.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 33.
Okay. I'll allow it. That's a hot take, actually. Nah, it's fine.
How many do they win in? How many World Tour wins do they win in? They won 24 and 22, which is a pretty good season. So I'm going the average of those 2 years with Robert Chow, 33. Okay, that's the Visma Lisa bike preview. Let us know what you think down below. And if the numbers don't add up for the World Tour wins, Benji, we just do a lot of Destiny in Israel preview and add some more in. But I think we're going to be running out of them, to be honest, now that we've added them in. We still got Bora Hansgrohe to do. So they're the next ones we're recording. Thank God the two teams got the agreement together because we had to do this preview today. And it would have been tedious to try to figure out where Brooks was going. So
I feel like you've cured your illness during this preview.
Nah,
you look
feel,
a lot brighter.
I feel ratchet. So if I've said anything offhand, I'm just going to say, I was sick, it doesn't count.
Who is surprised that if you take half the calories that a human needs, then you're starting to feel sick after a bit?
No. The trick is what you do, right? You do extra exercise and then eat what you're normally used to eating, and then your stomach thinks you're fine. And then there's your deficit. And you get sick. So, anyway. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for all the everyone's listenership on the previews, and we'll see you with the Bora Hansgrohe one next. Until then, ciao.